This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie Perloff Show. Maggie is out sick. She is feeling fine. We had an emergency situation yesterday, but don't worry. I think she'll be fine later in the week. She said there was an adventure yesterday. We will hear more about that.
I need to know the details of her getting from here to home.
Yeah, apparently that was a thing.
And she disappeared. Yeah. I mean, she left here like 6:40, and we didn't see her again. She didn't run out of the building, but she never showed her face.
Well, I saw her.
Right.
You did see her? I did not see her.
Yeah, I saw her because I had to give her stuff back and put it in the desk. And it was very weird because, you know, back there, the lights were all down in the office. So she's like in a distant couch. You can barely, it was almost like watching, like, I don't know, like a Bond villain or somewhere where you only see like half their face because they're in the darkness.
And I just see noises.
Maggie's shadow in the background being like, hey, just put the stuff in the office. So I did see her. You can even see the gray even from the distance.
The Maggie gray. Andrew Bogut sitting in, and it's a good day for it because the New York Giants, his favorite team, have signed a Super Bowl winning quarterback in Russell Wilson. Bogut is trying to kill that label. Yeah, he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
I know.
So I don't think we've reached a consensus here. Is it a certainty that they are still open to drafting a quarterback? I'm actually going back and forth here because having Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and Tommy DeVito in the quarterback room gives you a little flexibility where I think if you think, for example, Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter is a superstar, a generational talent, at least you can walk out of this draft without a guy or say Cleveland takes Jadeur Sanders at number two. I think you can walk away without a quarterback and still feel okay if you're the Giants.
I don't think you can leave this draft without a quarterback. And to be honest, I don't know if you can leave the draft right now without Shador or Jackson Dart. Because I don't know that the other guys are too developmental. The other guys are too far away from being your guy.
Tyler Shuck's 25 years old. I hope he's not developmental.
But is he good enough?
Well, he's injury prone. That's more his story. He's talented. He's always been injury prone. So that, and he's older, so I'm not sure the upside is there. Yeah, but if you get him in the second round.
You can get him in the second round, and maybe I'm overvaluing Jackson Dart. Maybe I'm putting too much stock in Jackson Dart. But once you get past him and you're in the Quinn Ewers Shuck neck of the woods, it feels different. I think, right or wrong, the Friday morning after round one here in New York, Giant fans would really like Abdul Carter and Jackson Dart. I don't know that they would like Abdul Carter and a true second-round pick who may never be your starting quarterback. That's not the same thing.
By the way, I there are some draft experts who are coming around on Jackson Dart. There's some good tape out there. He obviously had some moments at the end of the year where he came up short.
Yeah.
But
God, imagine if he was good. What a name.
Jackson Dart. I mean, talking about pedigree. He was supposed to be the man.
Right.
Unlike even, I mean, he's a much bigger recruit than Shador. Way, way bigger than Cam Ward was a non-recruit out of high school. Basically, he never threw the ball in high school. No one knew who he was. Went to Incarnate Word. Jackson Dart's been the man for a while. Tough kid, too. I think there's reason to think he could be a first-rounder. Not an obvious one, but demand pushes these guys up. You know who Tyler Shuck would be a total recreation of for the Giants? Do you remember a quarterback they took in the mid-2010s? Davis Webb?
Of course.
Older transfer, Texas Tech, just like Tyler Shuck.
He said Davis Webb?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Shuck's 6'5". Davis Webb was 6'5".
Again,
Texas Tech.
Not okay.
Well, Davis Webb, I think, last I checked, he's one of the hottest coaching candidates around. People love him as a coach.
Yeah, how is he as a starting quarterback?
Not good.
Yeah, not applicable.
Not
NA.
Good. So we'll see. There's a lot of intrigue there at the draft. But I keep coming around to this fact that Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, and Ashton Gentry remind me so much of the 1994 draft with Barry Sanders, Derek Thomas, and Deion Sanders. If you know those guys are going to be Hall of Famer, is it worth the risk on the quarterback? It's a very unusual draft. And you have to ask yourself, is Cam Ward and Shador Sanders, would they have been even first-rounders last year? And would they be first-rounders next year? Next year's draft could be loaded. So I do think teams could at least have the debate with themselves. Do we want to wait for next year? If you're the Giants, can we survive with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and Tommy DeVito?
I mean, you have to have a line you can't cross. There has to be a place where you go, okay, the price now is too high for me to find a quarterback, and we'll wait till next year, and we'll see what Russell/Jameis can do. But that probably ends up with those two guys not being in charge of the Giants next year.
Yeah, definitely could happen.
Like, if they're in position to draft Arch Manning, a different regime is doing it.
More importantly, I bragged early in the show that I was going to have a great Russell Wilson expression for the Giants.
And
you know, his let's
waiting.
Ride, his go Hawks, his, I guess, win the seventh in Pittsburgh. I'm not coming up with much, I'll be honest. I'm going to go into ChatGPT and see if I can figure this out.
Got my goal.
And I'm sure Russell Wilson will do the same thing. It's a kind of a funny cultural fit in New York City. And
is he going to be at Knicks games?
Probably.
Definitely.
Right?
Well, more importantly, will Ciara be there?
And will he be a Met or a Yankee fan? Probably a Yankee fan, right?
No,
he'll probably do the two hat.
Oh, he is that guy.
What's the team that he?
Rangers.
Rangers that he would go to spring training for. I think he's still on the payroll there. Is he? He's done with the Rangers? Yeah, I could see him be a Yankee fan.
The payroll
fan.
Is what? Like a.
Well, he used to go down to spring training.
No, I know, but you think like he still has a contract of some sort with them?
He, for a long time, had a contract with the Rangers.
I think they owned like his rights because they drafted him.
So he would go down to spring training in the offseason and pretend he was playing, right?
No, but EJ is right. He is 100% going to have the split hat.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait for that.
That is right up his alley.
Yeah.
No, Russell Wilson did have some connection with the Yankees. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like they brought him down, too, but I don't know for what.
I see him hitting in a Yankees uniform. It might
have
been symbolic.
Yeah, sort of Billy Crystal.
Well, Sporting News says, former Yankee baseball player Russell Wilson coming back to New York. That's the headline. Now, I don't know if that's...
Did he get drafted out of high school by the Yankees?
I don't know if that's fake news or what. I'm trying to read this as fast as I can, but...
Maybe...
Oh, he was traded to the Yankees. And,
when the hell
the Rangers
did that
picked Wilson in the minor league portion, adding him to their organization. Then in 2018, they traded his rights to the Yankees.
For who?
I'm sure a player to be named later,
Wait,
Manny.
In 2018?
2018. I remember this. I'm seeing this picture of him in the Yankees hat. I remember all this happening.
But how?
Yeah, I told
he
you
was Russell
right.
Wilson in 2018, NFL star quarterback. Why was he still tradable in baseball?
I tell you, he was still under some sort of deal with the
I'm seeing
first
that,
team.
I'm even seeing that Wilson did get in that bat for the Yankees in 2019, striking out against Max Fried, of all people.
In spring training.
This is according to the Sporting News article. Again, forgive me if this is fake news.
I think it's vaguely coming back to
me. This whole thing started because I'm like, I had a picture of Russell Wilson, so he's got to root for the Yankees.
Do you think Russell Wilson remembers that Max Fried was the guy that struck him out? If he showed up at a Yankee game, Max Fried was like, hey, remember me? You think he would know?
Oh, yeah.
I think there's no chance he remembers that it was actually Max Fried who struck him out.
No, I think baseball is important to Russell Wilson. I'll bet you that at bat meant a lot to him.
But we know Russ to be kind of like, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? He's very much just about, like, the optics, and, like, maybe he doesn't care so much about, like, the people around him or anything beyond just whatever. That's the allegations, at least. I feel like he definitely would show up, said, oh, I played against a guy in baseball, and I struck out, but that's all I needed. I got the at-bat. I don't think he will remember that the guy that is now technically his teammate is the guy that struck him out in his only at-bat.
I don't think he would remember the guy that was batting before him or after him. But I think he'll remember the guy who struck him out.
Okay.
You know how quarterbacks remember every play. Yeah, Russ will remember that. He takes a lot of pride in baseball, too. He hung on for a long time, Bogus.
This article says, I'm sorry to keep jumping around, but that Russell Wilson basically demanded a trade off the Rangers paperwork to the Yankees.
What, and did he not like the roster construction around him? What is he complaining about?
He didn't see a future with the Rangers.
John Daniels and Brian Cashman have spent several weeks working to accommodate Wilson's wishes. When did this happen? How did I miss this? I can't comprehend how in 2018 he was still like on any contract to be traded in a real MLB way.
Well, we see NBA draft picks who never make it to the NBA, like, you know, the 56th overall pick in the 2007 NBA draft just got traded 2 days ago to be a salary filler. Yeah. I mean, this kind of happens. We have precedents of this.
Oh man, we almost had, I'm reading one story, a Russell Wilson versus Tim Tebow showdown. That would be fun. All right.
Oh, you mean on the baseball field?
On the baseball field.
Oh, right, yeah.
Mets, Yankees. All right. That's a good spot to transition to today's debate.
315 minor league at-bats in his career. Like, legitimate at-bats.
Yeah, he was a real baseball player.
I don't remember. I know he was a good player. I don't remember him having 315 at-bats over multiple springs in the minor leagues.
Yeah, I think he even went up to one of... I could be totally wrong. Is there like a Northwest minor league too, or an Alaska minor league that Russ did something with?
There is a Northwest league.
Yeah, he played in for Tri-City of the Northwest League and Asheville of the South Atlantic League. Now, never to be in the majors. This is what he did in like during spring training.
Yeah, well, he was at Wisconsin when he was playing those years in the minor leagues.
Right.
You can't do that.
No.
Or maybe he, I don't know, I'm seeing, oh no, sorry, he didn't. What I'm reading from the New York Post is Wilson played 2 years in the Rockies minor league system as a second baseman and reached a full season in 2011, mm-hmm. but then focused on football after he transferred to Wisconsin.
Do you remember?
And then remember Jeff Samardzija did it. He did it at Notre Dame. He was playing. Wasn't he playing for Notre Dame and then pitching for the Cubs?
I don't think he played.
I don't know if he did that. Did he do it simultaneously?
I thought that was a summer thing. Right. I thought he.
Oh, for the summer. But he didn't play.
Not for the majors. This was minor league stuff I'm talking about.
By the way, can you believe that Chuck D'Amato who benched Russell Wilson for Mike Glennon?
Yeah.
That one, Glennon was a fourth-round pick. He was a good player. And then, of course, Russ left NC State, went to Wisconsin, and still had baseball floating around. It all comes full circle.
Wilson struck out on a 93-mile-an-hour fastball from Fried. Come on, man. You got to get that bat speed up.
I'd like to see any of us try and hit a 93-mile-an-hour fastball. Okay, great debate today. I think it's kind of relevant to this. We're debating, and help me out with this, EJ. If you could see any athlete of all time in any sport compete in today's game, which athlete would you pick? Is that a fair description of what we're going for?
The Great Debate Series.
Pearl, I think you described it accurately. Yes, so we're looking for retired athletes. If you could see one person play in today's game for whatever sport they're in, who would it be? In their prime.
Okay.
Not like at the end of the road, Ken Griffey. You're talking about Ken Griffey on the Mariners.
Right. That not like Wizards that. Michael Jordan.
Exactly.
All right, let's start with you, Andrew Bogus. Who do you want to see play in today's game?
Well, I'm going to dress for my pick. Baseball is my first love. So I've got to go back in time and pull one of the greatest baseball players ever into now to see just how good he was and would be in 2025. Very ninja-like of Willie Mays to make that catch in center field. Picture me, City Field, afternoon game. I'm in a three-piece suit and a hat watching Willie Mays face Max Fried and not strike out like Russell
so
Wilson.
So this works. We get to see the athlete play in today's game.
And I go in
you
the other direction.
You don't get to go back and wear a suit and the hat.
I can do what I want. I'm paying $1.25 to get in, 5 cent hot dogs.
What is it about Willie Mays specifically? Why is he the one guy you want to see?
Well, I guess he kind of just all encompasses, for me at least, that like era of player that I grew up being told was the most amazing that had ever been. Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, just pure athletes, beautifully built, playing the game at an elite level in like almost the heyday of the sport. So, but I need to see Willie Mays do that now in 2025.
All right.
When athletes train better, the game is played completely differently. He wasn't seeing four pitchers in a game all throwing 99 miles an hour. There are a lot of questions about how baseball in the past goes forward, and I think Willie had the best chance of answering them.
All right, EJ Stewart, who do you got?
All right, so it's a little bit of a sacrilegious pick for a Jets fan, but as a football fan, I feel like who wouldn't want to see this guy dropping back and swinging passes all around the field in the NFL today?
Just before it ran out, shotgun, Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown!
Yes!
Touchdown, Dolphins! Marino to Fryer! Oh!
Courageous call! That's on fourth and five!
Unbelievable!
What a game by Irving Fryer! What a game by Marino!
Dan Marino is my pick for the player I want to see play in their prime today. And a lot of this is because I feel like guys who I saw at the end of their career that looked washed and I had to rely on my dad to tell me, hey, no, trust me, when he was good, he was good. Those are the guys that I run to when I think about this question. And to me, Dan Marino, who was throwing for 5,000 yards, 4.7, 4.4, and I'm talking about the amount of yards he was throwing in the 80s. I mean, the 80s, he was just smashing records. He was putting up numbers that would be comparable to guys playing today. If you got to play with these rules where you can't touch the quarterback, where so everything is so much more advantageous to the passing game, what would Dan Marino do? Could he throw for 6,000 yards? He threw for 5,000 in 84. I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility. So for me, Dan Marino, who many people say is the purest passer the game has ever seen, I want to see him, maybe not against the Jets, maybe this time playing for the Jets, but him dicing up current defenses today. Dan Marino is my pick for the retired player I want to see play in their prime today.
Yeah. Actually, if we were around Dan Marino at the Super Bowl, I feel like he'd give you a couple snaps right now. It looks great.
He does look great.
Manny, you're up.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with one of the pioneers. Just like Bogus, baseball was my first love, and one of the names that I heard often and often and often was one George Herman Babe Ruth.
Well, I looked down at center field and I tore it. I said, I'm going to hit the next pitch ball right past the flag pole. Well, good Lord, it must have been with me.
I just love that violin just speeding up at the end. But the reason that I picked Babe Ruth was not because, you know, he hit 714 home runs. He's one of baseball's legends. I want to see him try to hit Shohei Ohtani. I want to see him try to go up against a 96-mile-per-hour slider with horizontal break of 22 inches. I want to see him go up against a 95-mile-per-hour changeup. When I fell in love with this sport, a changeup was 88 miles an hour. Now they are 95. I want to see Babe Ruth go up against these dudes nowadays that just sling the ball. I'll go with Babe Ruth.
Was anyone else primed for Manny to go with, like, Manny Rodriguez or somebody who played much, much closer to now
as his throwback guy?
Manny Rodriguez was a hell of a baseball player back in the day.
Like Allen Houston or like with Charles Brewer or something like that.
I grew up hearing of Jose Reyes.
Who? This old-timey baseball player. His name is Derek Jeter.
Yeah, what was Derek Jeter like, guys? Tell me.
Born in 1974, all the way back in 1974.
Here, Andy Pettit was really good.
Manny, how many times have people called you Manny Ramirez?
Probably once a week, every week since I was 12 years old.
Yeah. You went the other way, called Manny Ramirez, Manny Rodriguez. Anyway, all right, Gordon Daber, you're up.
Ramirez. This one is totally self-serving as a sports talk person, but I feel just to save the amount of time it would save us all, and I feel like we should all kind of be on board with this one, my pick would be this.
You're out of your mind. There is no way that LeBron will ever be Jordan. Nobody will ever be Jordan, okay?
Okay, LeBron's a better rebounder and passer.
Will you let me finish? Can you let me finish? Call me when LeBron has six championships.
Is that your only argument?
It's the only argument I need, Sean!
Yeah, that movie came out in 2011, and that argument still works. So I would say if we could have Michael Jordan in his prime, I know LeBron's not in his prime right now, but it would save us that whole argument of who's better, who's number one all time.
Wait, then you need two people in their prime because you need LeBron in their prime. Is that cheating?
No, it would not be cheating. But I feel like 99% of the people who argue LeBron never saw Jordan in his prime.
Right.
So if you brought Jordan back in, I don't know if it would move the needle completely 100 to 0.
Do you want to meet Manny? He's one of those people.
Yeah. Well, look, you also have not seen The Godfather, so it's hard for
That's
me
right.
to take advice
You are correct.
From Gordon, people who have not have no experienced
life. You have no idea with what I deal with on a daily basis. It's unbelievable.
Godfather, Rocky, never seen him. Heard of him, never seen him.
You know, this great debate series started out with Jordan LeBron. And now you've hijacked this topic by making it a Jordan LeBron, the ultimate sports debate. But I get it. That would settle everything. We get a 25-year-old Jordan, and let's just add a 25-year-old LeBron or 27-year-old. That would be something. Oh, man. I mean, it would be something because if we'd only get five finals games, Jordan would probably knock them out in five.
Probably.
Maybe four. I don't even know. Anyway,
three and a half.
I'm obviously a Jordan guy. Okay.
Bulls in three, bro.
I'll wrap it up with
LeBron wouldn't show up.
Sorry.
My guy's more of an experimental one because this one, Steve I think Rogers. We should all want to see. What would Wilt Chamberlain look like in today's game?
Was there a point where just the other team, like, left and made sandwiches on the bench? I mean,
Well, I really wish it was. Actually, they were really very embarrassed about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were mad at me, you know, and I was just out there trying to have fun.
At 85 points, did you start to feel bad a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bit?
Like, and the people
like, I'll just try and miss this one 100 points.
And I did that. I know. I did that. And my mother scolded me when I got home. You should be ashamed of yourself. You know, it was not an easy night.
Was that Wilt Chamberlain on the Conan O'Brien show?
Correct.
I had no idea that happened. That is it's pretty cool. Two of my favorites. Wilt Chamberlain, of course, talking about the 100-point night. Scored 50 points a game one season. We still do not know, was it just because everyone around him was terrible, or was he that great? Obviously, incredibly athletic, track star at Overbrook High School.
Firemen and plumbers, man.
Yeah, but he was so much, it's kind of like Babe Ruth. He was so much better than everyone around him. I think he would have been fantastic in today's game because he would have adjusted. The moves he had back then were kind of weird. You know, he would reach behind his head, and he wasn't allowed to dunk at certain points. I think he'd be incredible because of his athleticism. I would love to see him now. I don't think he scores 100. Of course, my guy Adam Sandler, his biggest routine was, what were the other guys doing when Wilt was scoring 100? hey, Wilt, my wife's in the crowd. Can you let me take a shot here?
Andrew, you got to see this Anthony Edwards kid play. It's the most amazing thing I ever saw.
I think, and then Taylor does an impersonation of the other huddle where guys go to the coach, Coach, Wilt's got 80. You think we might want to double team him? Anyway, yeah, that was a big Sandler joke. I would love to see, how do you guys think Wilt would do in today's game? I think he'd be amazing.
I think he'd be awesome.
Yeah.
He'd be awesome, but like, would he be head and shoulders clear of the rest of the league?
He'd be by far the best center in the NBA, I think. That's how I would see it.
Would Wilt Chamberlain step back behind the three-point arc?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
There are clips. I mean, people, again, because there's not a lot of video. There are clips of Wilt shooting turnaround fadeaways, not from obviously three-point range, but from 10 feet, 15 feet.
Yeah.
Like, this idea that he was just this big, strong guy that just dunked every time, it's just false.
I don't know. That three-second violation might hinder his career.
He had so much skill.
Honestly, Bill Russell and Kareem, obviously, in this conversation, too. I'd like to see how they... Bill Russell's a weird one because he was only 6'9 and didn't have much of an offensive game. He might not translate the same way, but he figured out a way to win. Kareem would be sick right now. Magic, he'd be Wemby.
Yeah, Kareem would be awesome, too. I am of the theory that any great player of their generation, especially with basketball, but I think it also applies to football, they'd probably be great in this era, too.
All right, you can give us a call, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Which athlete from the past would you like to see play in today's game? There are a lot of choices. We left a lot on the table. We'll get more into some of those athletes next, Maggie and Perloff Show. Welcome back. Great Debate Wednesday, Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie out, Andrew Bogus sitting in. Today's Great Debate, which athlete from the past would you most like to see play in today's game? Had some really interesting choices. I went with Wilt. Bogus went with Willie Mays. Manny went with Steven Strasburg. Now, who'd you go with? Oh, Babe Ruth. EJ went Dan Marino. And Gordon Damer went with Michael Jordan to finally settle Jordan versus LeBron. EJ, we have some interesting nominations in the YouTube chat, Infinity Sports Radio Network YouTube page.
Yeah, the chat always good stuff here. So Daly says Larry Bird.
Oh, that's a great one.
Also, P. Maddie says Bo Jackson as a pick, which I thought he would be a good one.
Which sport?
Great question. P. Maddie didn't specify. Also, Joe Midlick, which that's a funny name.
Excuse
that apologies.
Me?
Sorry if you need to dump that. Jim Brown was his pick.
What's his name?
Should I say it again? Midlick?
Okay.
All right.
Joe Midlick. Yes. I mean, it could be his real name.
It, I guess.
Also, Titan Maniac, which I like this one, considering boxing is kind of not a big sport anymore, but was during this time. Sugar Ray Robinson.
An old school boxer. Interesting.
Yes. And in the Twitch chat, Gory Splat says Barry Sanders.
Can I suggest peak Russell Wilson now on the Giants? Is that allowed? No?
All right. Give us a call. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. You know, the guy I wanted to see was, first one to jump to my mind was Vince Carter, but he played like 4 years ago. So I was thinking, like, that doesn't really fit the thing. I just loved, he was my favorite player to watch in his prime. Another name that jumped in was Zion Williamson, who's 25. I sure as heck would like to see that guy play, but probably not going to get that. All right, we are in a little bit going to update our sequel bracket. We have the Hoth region. Of course, Hoth, the planet from Empire Strikes Back.
Is that the thing that Maggie had such a hard time saying?
Hoth, yes.
Okay. I thought it was planet
Hoth. I have no idea.
No, it's definitely Hoth, but she seemed to have an issue with this one,
right? I haven't
seen
a movie before 2013, so
right.
How am I supposed to know?
If it doesn't have CGI in it, it's not for you.
It doesn't have caption either. I need subtitles.
Yeah, I am so happy to have Gordon Damer here for the movie conversation because we are in the same sort of wheelhouse of movies. We'll get to Gordon with updates in a second. First, let's take a call. Great athlete that you would want to see from the past.
Play today.
This is one of my favorite players of all time, and I should have said this. Mike in Seattle, who do you got?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Mike. Athlete you want to see play today.
Earl Campbell, man. I would love to see him run over these young players today.
Earl Campbell highlights are the best highlights that there are.
They are.
Because, first of all, the uniform technology was so bad then that everything ripped off his body. He was so awesome. We need an Earl Campbell. I actually am changing my pick, maybe. No, I can't do that, but that's a good one, Mike. Thank you.
Right on.
Yes. You got any Earl Campbell fans here besides me? I know
Love
Gordon.
Earl Campbell. One of my
absolutely.
Favorite highlights.
Yeah.
And I feel like he would I don't think there's much of a conversation of whether he would translate or not. You know, like what you were saying about Wilt. Does his game translate to the modern game?
See, I don't know. Running backs are asked to do so much now. They have to, you know, pick up the blitz.
Yeah. They would just ask him, go run over those seven guys.
But who's like Earl Campbell now? Nobody.
Henry's closest, but he's not Earl Campbell.
Ah, that's a good one. Actually, he's very close.
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy, right? But, like, I think the violence that Campbell ran with, nobody runs with.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, let's get to some updates. Gordon Damer, what do you got?
All right, well, last year, of course, the Steelers went to the playoffs, went 10-7, and they did so playing two starting quarterbacks in the course of the season. One of them was Justin Fields, who's now with the Jets. The other one is with the New York Giants. Russell Wilson getting a one-year deal with Big Blue, $10.5 million guaranteed. Wilson turns 37 in November. This move comes 4 days after the Giants also signed Jameis Winston. So where does that leave the Giants in regards to the draft? New York has the third overall pick. Adam Schefter thinks that Shedeur Sanders could be the pick.
They were linked to him all along. They've done a ton of work on him. They spent a lot of time in Boulder. He had the New York Giants cleats before the Alamo Bowl. Mm-hmm. He's having a catch with Malik Nabers at the Heisman Trophy presentation. There's been a lot of smoke and a lot of connections for Shedeur Sanders to New York, and he's been raised to kind of perform with the bright lights in the big city, and I could just see it happening.
And that sound courtesy of the Adam Schefter podcast.
So Schefter, I listen to this podcast, and now he's pretty sure Shedeur is headed to the Giants. On the same podcast a month ago, he was positive. He said 100% the Cleveland Browns were going to take a quarterback, and he completely is backtracking on that, just like I backtracked on my terrible Jalen Hurts take earlier in the show.
You haven't backtracked yet.
Well,
you tried to double down on it.
Okay.
And ignore the issue.
Regardless, Adam Schefter said that the Browns were taking a quarterback. Then he just said on the same podcast, things change. Now he's saying Shador Sanders looks like a New York Giant. But is he in a month, is he going to say that things change?
Still 29 days until the draft, so yeah. There's still time for the winds to shift.
I just thought it's really interesting. Right now, it feels like Cam Ward, number one to the Titans, number two, Abdul Carter to the Browns, and number three, Shador Sanders to the Giants. I think a lot could change in a month. It's never, ever works out that obvious.
No, and if you buy into betting odds, Shador Sanders right now has the best odds to go third overall. He's plus 105 at DraftKings. As you mentioned, Cam Ward, the heavy favorite to go first. Abdul Carter, heavy favorite to go second. Of course, the Giants could just do the most hilarious thing ever and just draft a running back with the third pick.
Ashton Gentry. Oh, my gosh.
2,500.
Bring back Dave Gettleman. Bogus, that's a great point. That would be the funniest, best thing ever.
Giants fan, Andrew Bogus.
I'm not even listening anymore. I'm checking out like Perloff does.
That's not fair.
That's a low blow. Below the belt.
It's what happens. Imagine being me on most days.
I would rather not.
How the turntables have.
Exactly. Well said.
Stephon Diggs, he is still ticked at the Bills. Next year, he'll get a chance to play the Bills. He signs a three-year deal with the Patriots, $69 million, $26 million of which is guaranteed.
Yeah. Bogus, you had a good point. We actually have to see that contract. Is he really getting $26 million guaranteed? Because it does seem like a lot. I mean, basically, it makes him, in the mid-20s, one of the highest-paid wide receivers. A 31-year-old coming off an ACL in Week 8 has less value to me than, say, Jalen Waddle or Devontae Smith or a high-end wide receiver, too.
Yeah, it definitely seems unique. Like, there's definitely some high-level accounting going on in all of this. Yeah. I can't... I mean, 26 mil guaranteed doesn't feel like a lot. Plus, they have, like, almost all the salary cap space.
But it does feel like a lot because Stephon Diggs, it's March. He obviously, the market did not want him in the first go-round of wide receivers.
No, I guess what I mean by that is I am basically to the point now where I don't think anything actually matters because guys get cut, dead money doesn't matter. Oh, this is now not, this is a signing bonus now, so I have cap space. Like, the Browns didn't have any cap space, and then they changed Deshaun Watson's, like, what they called his money, and now they have $25 million cap space. Like, I don't think it's all funny money. It's all fake numbers. So, okay, $26 million guaranteed is not going to preclude them from doing anything else. He might not catch a pass for them, but they're never going to go, oh, we're still stuck behind this Stephon Diggs deal. We can't get out of it.
Are you sure you don't mean that nothing matters existentially? Is that what you're getting at? Are you
nothing matters in any form or fashion.
Yeah. I kind of feel like that's where you're headed.
Yeah. It's just nothing matters.
Yeah. Not just contracts. We're talking about life.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Your silly votes for movies, doesn't matter.
Politics.
That landed perfectly back on your desk. That was incredible.
Gordon Damer.
That matters.
give us something a little more positive than Bogus's life outlook.
All right. Jimmy Butler back in Miami last night. First time.
Very positive.
That's what Maggie's good stories.
I got great news, guys.
It was a bit of a rough night.
Career curmudgeon back in Miami.
Tyler will pull it. Nice job by Anderson. Up to Anderson. He flips it up and in over the top of Jimmy in slow motion.
Yeah, at 112-86, Butler had 11 points in his return to South Beach.
I was looking at the standings. The Warriors are now really in danger of going back into the play-in. I had them, Maggie and I did a debate about 2 weeks ago, are the Warriors a legit title contender? If they're in the play-in, it just feels like the West is so tough. That's a steep climb.
I can make the case that they should want to be in the play-in.
Yeah, to get the 7-2 matchup.
You want the Rockets. Yeah, I think if they play the Thunder, the Thunder or the Nuggets, they're getting them out of there.
Wouldn't you want the 6 seed then?
No, well, the 6, right now Denver's 3. So if you get 6, you're playing Denver.
Oh, I
Denver.
See. Oh,
I think they're getting, the Denver's getting them out of there. But if you play the Rockets at the 2 seed and you're a 7, if you win that first play-in game, I think you would prefer that.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is you're going to have to face these teams at some point. Same thing with the Lakers. I mean, we were really high on the Lakers, and now, man, a month changes all that. All that optimism feels somewhat gone.
Yeah, but I mean, to your point earlier about how the regular season just doesn't feel like it matters that much.
Nothing matters.
Teams that, that's a good point.
Yep.
Also, to your point, Andrew, when these teams get into the playoffs, they sometimes all the struggles of the regular season fade away because guys
doesn't really, matter.
Doesn't also guys care
the regular
a whole
season
lot more.
Doesn't matter.
Playoffs matter though.
A little bit.
All I gotta tell you is, I don't want to be in the West. I'm looking at this field. It's insane. There is, EJ, there is no easy path out of this thing.
No, that's why, I felt a little bit about the Lakers and the Warriors, but I don't feel great about either team.
Don't worry, Bronny just put up 39 points for the South Bay Lakers a couple of nights ago.
There's the Cavalry. So,
yeah, I had to admit, though, when I knew the Warriors were 41-31, and I pulled up the NBA standings just to see where they would put them in the East, and it actually doesn't change their spot that much. What changes is what comes after them.
Yeah, it's the play-in in the East. Yeah. It's just an abomination. Yeah. That's the problem. The first six teams are pretty good.
Yeah. Sixers still have a chance for that play-in in the East, don't they?
Yeah.
By the way, Paul George working hard.
Yeah.
Speaking of nothing matters.
Minnesota and the Clippers are in the play-in. I mean, either of those teams would be a high seed in the East. Without a Kawhi's back, it's so funny, and they're not going to get out of the play-in. Gordon?
Knicks made some history last night, beat the Mavericks 128-113. That was not the history, though. The history was that they had two players both record triple-doubles in the same game. Yeah.
This definitely matters.
Yes. Karl-Anthony Towns, 26-12-11. Josh Hart, 16-12-11.
First time in Knicks franchise history?
Yeah, first time ever. And Hart's is his ninth triple-double of the season. That moves him past Clyde Frazier for the most in a single season.
Nothing
in Knicks
sacred.
History.
But not first time ever for any team. You're
just for the Knicks.
Russell Westbrook and Jokic did it twice this year. So this is, I guess, the third time this has happened this season, I believe.
But, you know, the Knicks are the Knicks. I mean, they are the face of the league. So when they do something for the first time, that really matters.
And speaking of things not mattering, college basketball head coaching contracts clearly don't matter. Richard Pitino.
What's it like having a head coach?
He leaves New Mexico. If you win a game in the tournament, sometimes that's the worst thing that can happen to your program because your coach is leaving as soon as the next day comes along. Richard Pitino, he leaves New Mexico, takes the head coaching job at Xavier.
Yeah, or if your dad is good too, that kind of hurts apparently.
How about being St. Francis, Pennsylvania and winning the NEC, you're in men's March Madness, and then you come home and I go, guess what, guys?
Yeah.
We're going down to D3.
Oof.
So enjoy this last year with the big boys.
I guess the lights were too bright.
Bye-bye.
It could be the state of college sports, though, the way the finances
are working.
This is going
to happen.
It could be a trend.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait for Iona to become a D3 school.
Yeah.
That's a very specific wish.
Well, it's right there, right next to my house. So what do you want me to say?
He's still going to make the Iona College Rick Pitino joke?
Iona University, buddy.
All right, Gordon, thank you very much. Give us a call if you want to weigh in on the great debate. Old-timey player you want to see play in today's game. Not that old-timey. EJ went with Dan Marino.
EJ went with Steven Strasburg.
Yeah. Bogus had the line of the day. Bogus had the line of the day. He wants to see prime Russell Wilson play for the Giants. But give us a call, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Keep them coming. Maggie and Perloff Show.
Let's rock.
Uber Eats is delivering game day deals from hundreds of your local favorites all week. Order now on Uber Eats. Product availability varies by region. See app for details.
All right. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Andrew Bogus sitting in for Maggie. Great debate Wednesday. Which old-timey athlete would you want to see play today? 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. See, we took this debate in very different ways. I think you need to see how would Babe Ruth, who was Manny's choice, how would he, have you always wondered how would that guy do in today's game? Because he was not in great shape. I don't know how he hit 60 home runs. It feels like a different game.
It's the first thing that I think about every morning, Pearl.
Yeah, me too. There was a good one in the chat, Larry Bird. Would his game translate today? Imagine if he had the three-point line. I mean, he did have the three-point line. Imagine if they shot like that.
Right, he could take 12 a night.
I don't know what kind of player he would be, but he's also a great rebounder, a great passer. Magic Johnson, it's not really, the game is not really where he's at now. He was more of a mid-range assist guy. Would he be as effective? I don't know.
EJ said it the best before. Yeah. It's like the truly elite players would stay elite at any time. It's just how elite, I guess, or like, are they the best player anymore?
Yeah,
or are they just one of a handful?
The game has definitely changed and will change again. You know, they want to change the rules on three-point shot because the three-point shots become so big.
Well, to me, the physicality and the size of people and the shape that athletes are in now, that to me is where I think the older folks might end up losing. Because Wilt, no matter what, like Wilt's, part of Wilt's production was just being a different athlete than the rest of the guys on the floor.
Being taller.
And that wouldn't be the case anymore.
But there were other tall guys. He wasn't the only 7-foot guy.
But he wouldn't, but he would not have that unique, like, solo position in today's game. Like, there are other athletic, long people now.
Yeah. No, I hear you, but I think he would have been just, he was a superior athlete. He was super fast, could jump super high, really had a lot of hand-eye coordination. There aren't a lot of 7-footers.
No,
like
I just feel like there's less freaky guys than there used to be. And people like, and they also like the baseline is different.
You mean that there are less freaky guys, that they don't, there are many guys like that, so they're not freaks is what you
right.
mean.
Okay. Yeah.
I hear you. Willie Mays, I thought was a great choice, but I kind of feel like we all know what Willie Mays would be in today's game. He'd be awesome. There's no doubt in my mind. Where Babe Ruth, I really don't know. So that's why you're wrong.
Thanks.
And I
so then is Jordan out too?
Yeah, kind of. Jordan's a little too recent.
Okay. What about Strasburg?
Strasburg. How old is Steven Strasburg? He's one of those guys.
29.
Maggie and I always laugh at these guys that we think are older or still, you know, like Cam Newton's still 35 years old and retired. RG3's 35.
I think Strasburg literally officially retired like a year or two ago.
He's 36.
Damn.
Is he officially retired?
Yeah.
Probably has a lot of money. Okay.
Shout out DC.
Andrew Bogus, did you see a clip yesterday that was interesting for its content, but it was also interesting for where it was? J.J. McCarthy, second-year quarterback of Minnesota Vikings, was down in Mexico at a golf course being interviewed by Kay Adams.
Hi, muy bien.
Yeah, which struck me as like, what? Well, I didn't know why J.J. McCarthy was speaking, but it's an NFLPA golf tournament, and he actually has real shaggy hair now. He's almost mullet-like.
Oh.
And he also looks like he put on weight.
I noticed that, too.
Yeah, he looks big.
Looked a little thicker.
But he had some interesting comments that are making the rounds in NFL circles about whether he's the starter in Minnesota.
I feel like we as a fan base or even media found out, like, you're the guy, the guy, recently. When did you know? When did they tell you or when was that message to you?
They haven't told me, and I'm happy they didn't because I try to earn it every single day, and I never want that to be given to me, and it's such a privilege and opportunity to give me that chance, and I'm just going to make the most of it every single day.
Andrew Bogus, do you like this attitude from your young quarterback?
Oh, I like his attitude, and it doesn't bother me or lead me in any different direction on their future that they haven't explicitly told him this all yet. He's still the guy. We know he's the guy. So I like that he's approaching it like he's not. I like that they're approaching it like he's not, like making him still kind of earn it. But I mean, all the signs point to him being QB1, but right. He's handling it well, and he also said he's physically fine from the knee, so let's ride.
He sounded a little try-hard to me, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
But everybody sounds like that. No, he's fine. That's what you want your quarterback to sound like. It's really interesting to me that it's a different calculus now that Aaron Rodgers is reportedly not the choice for the Vikings. I don't think you would hear him talking like this. I'm not sure what he would say. Say Aaron Rodgers was there. How would he answer that question? Obviously, I think he'd be the second stringer.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole different scenario. Like, what if anybody else was there?
It's interesting to me that the Vikings were willing to put him on the bench, and now they are obviously all in on him as a starter.
Willing to because you thought they were really close to Rodgers?
Because I think
if they really wanted Rodgers, he'd be there.
I think they probably made a lowball money offer to Aaron Rodgers. I bet you they said, come here for one year, $10 million. You don't think they even did that? Because they were in on Daniel Jones.
Well, but they wanted Daniel Jones to back up J.J. McCarthy.
They?
Yes. That's why Sam Darnold's not there. This is what I've said from the, like, so what we said going back into the, right. The beginning of offseason. This is what they wanted to happen. They wanted somebody to give Sam a lot of money that they would just be like, we can't do that. So now J.J.'s the guy. Jones would have been the security blanket. And they gave Aaron Rodgers a thought because he's Aaron Rodgers and he's not there, which means they don't want him. Because if they make so much sense for him, except for J.J. McCarthy. So if they wanted him, he'd have to want them back, and he'd already be there. This would be over with.
I don't think it's that simple, because they let it hang out there for a long time that Aaron Rodgers was in the mix, and they knew what they were doing. I think that they were, A, thinking about it, B, I'll bet you they explored money with his agent.
I think they thought about it, and I think maybe there was a price that they were willing to go down that road, yeah. But maybe it was also a price that they knew he never was actually going to get to.
Maybe there was a talk, are you willing to be a backup, too?
Or at some point, JJ takes over.
Yeah, and I'm sure Rodgers was not interested in that. Then again, you know, all the reports say they're not interested this time. Maybe he circles back around. By the way, he was in Pittsburgh, Aaron Rodgers, on Friday.
Yeah.
Still nothing. Still no word on a contract. Taking his time. No word. We talked about a mystery team. EJ and I thought maybe the Dolphins or the Niners. No word on that. Sort of just floating out there.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at, went through the standings yesterday just to make sure I wasn't missing a team. And I'm having a hard time thinking of who really is in the mix here. Like, I don't share the same, Brock Purdy confusion that you do. The Dolphins make more sense than the Niners, where I think would be more open to trying something. But he's not going to start week one over Tua. Like, they're not making a change. So he's not going to go to those places because he's not going to want to be somebody's backup.
Yeah, you're probably right, but it's, he's maybe waiting for an injury. Maybe he'll come
or
in.
Or like Kirk Cousins, he's waiting to see how the draft plays out.
Remember, Favre came to the Jets in the first week in August. So there is time, and he seems to like to follow the Favre narrative. All right, coming up, we got to fix college basketball. There's definitely a problem, but I don't know if coaches are telling the truth or being honest about what the real problem is. Lots to solve here. That's next. Maggie and Perloff Show.